Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. In this particular episode is Cues of the Force. Qualms. I've said that one before. I know. Qualms of the Force. I'm feeling qualmy. But also ready for the actual cues. Questions. Questions of the Force. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsack. Don't you worry about it. Say qualms all you want, because that's even how I said the center of the galaxy once and never stopped. I thought to myself, every week I'm going to change that. And then we all started broadcasting regularly 3-4 times a week, and it's just been a thing. So qualms it is. Qualms. No qualms with qualms.
No qualms with qualms. I like the from the center of the galaxy, because it sounds like we're broadcasting from Coruscant or Hosnian Prime. Every once in a while when I'm about to start, I forget where we broadcast from. So I'm like, from the center of Toledo, what do we say? Every once in a while, it just goes away.
Every once in a while, our brains freeze, but we're here. We're here.
Yeah. A lot of freezing brains, but they are red hot today as we take your questions. We're going to be talking about Audible, of course. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, for the last time for now, we are going to be recommending Battle Scars by Sam Meggs. Oh, we have been behind on our reading, but we got a chance to catch up with this one. We read it. We discussed it. If you would like to give it a listen, you can download that free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/4center. One more time, that's audibletrial.com/4center for your free audiobook. But there are still more A's to go with our Q's. Go for it, Ken.
Yes, our current ask, no qualms about this ask here, is we are trying to reach a new goal on Patreon. If you want to consider supporting us at patreon.com/4center, help us reach our new goal, which is another ranked live stream episode. We're live streaming exclusive to patrons, but then releasing it to the public after. This will happen when we reach $2,200 a month to help make that dream come true. Thank you all for making the last one come true, which was the sequel trilogy scenes, our favorite sequel trilogy scenes. A lot of fun doing it and doing it exclusively with that live audience. So check it out at patreon.com/4center. We're also saying this, double check, because we added the merch levels. This is handled in an automatic fashion, so to speak, from Patreon. It's why we went this way. So some of you might need to update your shipping address. Maybe you moved since you started supporting us, or maybe you didn't include it because that wasn't something necessarily that was asked of you when you signed up, because we weren't necessarily doing the merch. In the past, a lot of the merch was handled by us on our own, me going to a mailbox center with a bushel of bags to mail out things. Now it's all handled through Patreon. So you need to check your shipping address, double check it, especially if you're waiting for a reward. We also have when does this end? I've been traveling all week.
Worry about this one, Ken.
This one crossed over into the netherworld. Don't worry. No more asks, everybody. That's our ask. Patreon.
Let it go. Sorry. Yeah. Patreon.com/4center. I rudely talked over Ken.
No.
Ken was going to promote the survey because I kept it in the show notes, but it is closing on May 7th today, and we've gotten so many responses. Thank you all for taking the time to do that, and maybe more surveys coming.
Maybe indeed. Yes, I'm in one of those do not know the actual date weeks of my life. I just know it is what day it is and what time of day it is. So we'll recover. But we got some questions. So Joseph, go ahead and take over with the cues.
Yeah, it is cues time. We have two from patrons on Patreon. We have one question from Twitter, and we have a great Power of the Light Side segment. So we're going to dive into questions from patrons on Patreon. This one comes to us from Brian Babcock. Brian says, hello, Ken and Joseph. I'm curious if either of you have a way to articulate your love of Star Wars to non-Star Wars fans. More specifically, I don't mean trying to justify it to negative people, but for example, if someone was to say, I've seen a couple of movies, they're fun, but I just don't understand the obsession people have. I often respond with, it probably helps to be introduced to the films at a young age. While you can still love the films if you watch them for the first time as an adult, there's something truly magical about the world of Star Wars to a child. It essentially seeps into your DNA and rewires you to be a lifelong Star Wars fan. I haven't really been able to explain it better than that, so I was curious if you have had similar comments and questions posed to you and what your responses would be. As always, thanks for reading and may the Force be with you. This is a great and fun question. Have you had this conversation as Brian is asking? Do you get people who are not actively negative, but just like, what's the deal? Why do you people like those wars in the stars?
Yeah. In various forms. We often hear lately in the last year or so, obviously you have been talking about sometimes run into the negative folks out there and that kind of experience. But beyond that, yeah, it's impossible not to have that conversation if you walk into my house, and I have a ton of Star Wars stuff everywhere. But if you're just even in our living room, you're going to see some things that have made many a plumber, electrician, someone passing through my house that doesn't know me too well going, hey, you seem to like Star Wars. It seemed to like a lot. So yeah, that, then I've mentioned a lot of exchanges I've had in green rooms at comedy clubs, specifically Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank, where it's going to come up because they hear either my intro or they see my hat. And I will say this, a lot of people, aren't negative. They're just, oh, hey, Star Wars. Yeah, I kind of like that. And that's where the conversation goes. So yeah, I've had those conversations.
Yeah, no, I've definitely had those conversations. Then they've changed over the years. I used to have them much more. I would have them sometimes with the career professionals. I've mentioned this before. This was one of those generational shifting moments when sadly my apartment had been broken into and somebody stole very quickly just the video game consoles. But I had action figures all over the wall. And the police officer, which I was, you know, still relatively young, so in my mind it was that kind of Sesame Street thing of like, adults are fire people and police officers and dentists and any authority figure is older than me. And this cop was not older than me. And the cop looked around and was like, I would have taken some of these toys. You're lucky he didn't take your awesome Star Wars toys. And I was like, oh no. A generational change moment for me. But when I was early in my career in Minneapolis doing a lot of theater and comedy, and I was also doing shows at the convention I talk about all the time, Convergence, and eventually those worlds merged, but they were very separate at the beginning.
Yeah.
And the Convergence thing was a kind of a thing I went off and and did in a weird convention out there that he does once a year. And a lot of theater people at the time did like genre stuff, but then there were people who were a little bit older than me where that was kids stuff. Star Wars and Star Trek and comic books. Those are all kind of in a box of maybe less than maybe just different, maybe just for kids. So I had a lot of those conversations, exactly what Brian said. It's like, well, it's been a huge part of my life since I was a child. It fired my imagination. It's a sense of fun, kind of all those kind of straightforward things. And then as I got a little bit older, I did start to push back and being like, did it does like share a lot of themes with theater, you know, with ancient myths and Shakespearean themes. And I would have some good conversations sometimes. And sometimes I would have some people who were just like, they asked, but I don't think they wanted to understand. And at that point, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, that's a great, yeah. At some point, you just kind of shrug. Hey, I like pineapple and pizza. Sorry, you don't.
Yeah. But it's evolved now that you know, we have the podcast and we talk about it all the time, and I've got to meet other people in the community, and I have an inkling from everybody's great, you know, social media and responding to questions here of how other people absorb it. So it is a little bit different for me now than it was back in the day. Is it different for you now than it was when you were younger?
Yeah, absolutely. Just the way it affects us more, the way we talk about it more. I want to explain more, right? And that's where maybe over the last couple of years can tend to get a little grumpy. I've even had to explain. I'm sorry, I got a part-time job now writing for some stuff for a kind of a pop culture website. And even I've had to explain to some people of like, well, no, actually I like the Gungans and let me tell you why. And then I have to make sure I'm not an a-hole, right? You don't want to become you, or just like, you know, oh, you've engaged with them this level and that's fine. So yeah, I find, I don't know if you find too, and Brian, this is a great question, Joseph, I don't know if you find too, sometimes I just feel like, oh, you've asked, I'm bursting to the seams to tell you why this affects my life and also other people's lives. Even if I can't explain it perfectly all the time, I just like, oh yeah. You asked, I want to answer.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think for myself, it's always wanting to understand who is asking and what are they really asking and how much do I need to contain myself?
Yes.
Because I think sometimes people ask because they're truly curious about my love. Like, I want to understand why you like it, and they're not interested in explaining it for themselves. They want to understand why I like it. But then I think sometimes people are asking in a way that is, can you help me find a way in? So I definitely want to understand that. And if the person is just kind of asking like, why do you like that thing that I'm never going to make time for? Childhood is still a big part of it. But I think the go-to thing that I've been saying is, for myself, it's the endlessly fascinating layers. It is fun, weird adventures with the laser swords and bizarre aliens and exciting worlds and all that. But under all that fun, pulpy bonkersness is these life lessons that actually helped me through my life. So
I love it from how wild and weird and funny it is, but it also has real depth. And at that point, if the conversation is going to continue, at some points the conversation is, anyway, I have been talking a lot about stuff that we've experienced, Ken, but also that we've heard from listeners of like, when I talk about the themes, I don't just mean I could write a great, you know, thesis for a school. I mean, what it has to say about anger helps people. The idea of the force is a way to talk about creativity and art and becoming in tune, more in tune with yourself and nature. Those things really matter. And even if it might not work for everybody, Star Wars unlocks those incredibly important real life things for people. And that, I think, is the part of the conversation where it sometimes can really step away from how can you like that? That's clearly a guy in a mask. What do you mean that puppet changed your life? Gets away from any of that sort of judgy stuff to just like, I'm giving you information. This thing helps people with real stuff in life. And I think that's sometimes where the communication can become better.
Now, that's a great way to look at it, of this stuff matters. And I'm with you too. I think we've been exposed to many wonderful personal testimonies of Star Wars and Star Wars finding people even late in life. I don't necessarily think Brian's wrong saying, hey, it helps to maybe be introduced at a younger age. I think that can be true. That's my story. I would say it's probably your story too, Joseph, but it's not necessarily everyone's story. Some of our Force listeners, you know, Force Awakens brought them on and they were in their early 20s or older. One of the stories, I never met her or worked with her personally, but the writer and improver, Heather Ann Campbell, was on our old buddies, Stephen Alex's, Black Series Rebels show back in 2017, 2018, talking about The Last Jedi, talking about it with much passion. That was her first Star Wars film. She had heard about it. You know, she wasn't raised in a bomb shelter where she emerged. But she was like, oh, people seem to be talking about this. I'm going to go see it. And she fell in love with Star Wars then, right? I was fascinated by that. Someone who is not only older, but is in the business and, understands how storytelling work. And so it can find you at any time. And so how to fully explain that has been the struggle. But I like what you're saying of, it might not be for you, but it is for others, and it informs my life. It inspires me. It changes me. That's one way now that I wouldn't describe it years ago. Years ago, it'd be a little bit more, and I still like Star Wars on this level beyond the pew pew pew. But I like looking at it as a real living history document, and I love wondering what's happened next, which is why I've never, even before I'd really did those deep dives on themes with you here in Force Center. Like I never had a bunch of what ifs because I was always like, oh, cool. What's next? That's the story. And that's how I looked at it. So, but from that to now say, hey, this is how I talk about Star Wars and engage with Star Wars has changed me. If people have time to have me say that sentence or two, Brian, I'll say that.
Yeah. And it really is. It is the art of conversation of what are they actually asking? How much do they want to hear? Are there follow-up questions? I think the other thing for me is when I perceive that what somebody is actually asking, or sometimes I can just ask if they're looking for a way in themselves. I think I have also through the podcast learned lots of different ways into Star Wars. I totally agree with Brian. The hooking you while you're young and it is just utterly fantastic and you're swept along in the adventure and the emotion. You've never seen anything like it. Huge. It opens up creative doors with the toys at home, everything we talk about. But I think I have run into some people who encounter it in, 18, 20, into their 30s. And it is the family drama. It is the my life has not, my family isn't perfect. Here's a story about a family that isn't perfect. And that is extremely powerful. Hearing about people who are like C-3PO, I relate to C-3PO. So I'll try to understand what people like and see if there's a way in. There, like I said, there were some theater people who did find a way in from like, oh, I thought of it as popcorn, blockbuster, all of these kind of labels. I didn't really think about it, that it's an ancient myth. I didn't realize that one part of it is a Shakespearean tragedy where a character has a tragic flaw. And that can be a way in. I always remember I have a actor friend in the Twin Cities who's, I want to think he's about 14 years older than me, was the wrong age for Star Wars and was never, ever a jerk about it, but was just like, not for me. I like your toys, Joseph. Those aren't for me. Just a wonderful, charming, thoughtful actor, great comedy actor, great director, who reached out to me and said, I went to see Force Awakens because everybody's talking about it. I was curious and I'd seen the Star Wars before and it's like, yeah, I get it. Like, but Force Awakens really grabbed me and I didn't, I wasn't sure why. And he's like, I listened to your podcast. And this was like our first deep dive where we'd done a couple of preview episodes and that, but this is our first episode where we really like did what we do now, which is dive in. And he's like, that your podcast helped me, you know, think through why it was speaking to me. And I think for him, it was the generational thing, you know, of seeing a version of Star Wars that had people closer to his age in Han and Leia trying to guide the younger generation. And that's why that one finally clicked for him a little bit more. And I don't know if he went on to be like, I've not seen him post pictures on you know, Facebook, waiting in midnight lines or anything like that. I haven't seen him covered in Last Jedi merch. So I don't know if his love extended beyond Force Awakens, but that was such a great moment, like you're talking about, where it can find you at all sorts of different times and different ages for different reasons.
Yeah, there's something about that too. And maybe we're moving beyond even Brian's question here, framing the conversation. But, where... Like my experience with Lord of the Rings, I obviously knew of them growing up, but I didn't read them. I wasn't given them to read. The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings. I didn't watch the animated movie. I just knew there were these things, right? And it wasn't until the movies, Jackson's movies, and the second one, I didn't see it until Two Towers. And I was 26 at the time. So I'm with all my former Groundling buds. The day we all got voted out, we all went and saw Two Towers at ArcLight. And immediately got pulled in. But I think as a kid, Star Wars was what was like, ooh, I would like to do that, right? Be a hero fighting this galactic war. And then it was like, as I was older here, I'm just in my mid-20s, still young, but it wasn't, ooh, I would like to do that. It was like, I wonder if I could, right? Could I face those challenges? Could I find that inside me? And that's kind of been how I engage with it going forward, right? And going to your buddy with Force Awakens is like, can I do that? Can I help the generation after me? What's in there for me? And that's a different way to engage with it. And that's kind of how I might explain it to someone who's asking about my hat and is curious about why I like kid stuff or something. I don't know if it works, but it could be.
Why do you like kid stuff is, I think, a pretty aggressive way to ask about Star Wars.
Yeah, but isn't it kind of the tone sometimes?
It is. It definitely was back in the day. I think things have changed a lot. Things have changed a lot and for the better, I think. Yeah. That is a great question, Brian. Thank you so much for kicking us off. Any final thoughts before we move on, Ken?
No, I think it's going to flow nicely in the next one. I probably will have more. The perfect explanation will eventually pop in my brain one day, Brian.
Yeah. Until then, we'll keep trying. Great question, Brian. Thank you very much. We're going to move on to our next question from Fraser J. Fraser says, hello there, Ken and Joseph. This one crossed my mind during my last rewatch of The Kenobi Show. So many parts of Star Wars have made me emotional in recent years, probably because as an adult, I dive into a lot of the themes that bit deeper as opposed to when I was a kid watching Star Wars for the thrill and adventure. The Andor finale, Rogue One, pretty much all of Revenge of the Sith, Tala and Ned B's final moments in Kenobi, in the end of Rise of Skywalker, are just a few of the things that have made me shed a tear or 10 in recent memory. However, I was thinking about my very first viewing of Return of the Jedi when I was 9 years old. Remember, even then, that had me welling up. I was 9! I'm not sure exactly why it had such an effect on me at such a young age, but I believe it was the feeling of my childhood hero's journey coming to an end. I was sad it was over, but so happy they'd saved the galaxy and, well, the Ewoks, of course. Anyway, I was wondering if either of you had similar stories or memories of the first time Star Wars really grabbed you and found its place in your heart. Was there a moment when you were younger, where you realized it wasn't just another story, but something special. Cheers from Australia, and may the force be with you both. This is a great question, potentially a big question. Ken, where does your mind go? Is there a defining moment where you realized it was something more than one of your other stories?
Yeah, early on, and some of these things have been mentioned before here on the podcast, as happens when we broadcast for 9 seasons. But so I apologize for repeating it. But Return of the Jedi was the first big experience of mine, even though I'd been around it, and saw it in the drive-in, all that kind of stuff. But I do remember leaving, and I think I'm riding in the back of a Subaru station wagon at the time. I can't remember. And staring out at the window and the stars, leaving Return of the Jedi, and just being like, not that I'm like, I wonder what's going, is this happening out there? But just that kind of like the larger galaxy, larger story. What could happen? And that led to me wanting to tell my own stories. Right. I ended up not being a writer director type, but that's what I wanted. That was one of the first things I wanted to be. I want to be like George Lucas. That came out of that. And that was when I knew there was something more to these stories. I couldn't explain it. He's still struggling to explain, answer Brian's question. But it was the playing with it and taking it home and the stories. I think a lot of kids had that imagination, but I think you and me and Jennifer, a lot of people, not just people went into creative endeavors, but a lot of people who listen and take in Star Wars now like this. Like, I didn't just play with my space Legos. Every one of the little minifigs had names and adventures, and I picked them up week to week, and it was the continuation of telling my own stories. And that came from that. And one of the specific moments I do remember is reading the novelization, the Alan Dean Foster ghost written, novelization of A New Hope, finishing the book. And you know, it's a quick read now, but as a kid, that was quite an adventure. and flipping back, and I've addressed this, I know, on the show before, but flipping back to the early pages, and here, you know, we're on Yavin, the day's been saved, Luke's getting a medal, but I remember flipping back and going, wow, just literally, I'm like eight, literally just going like, wow, remember when he was on Tatooine? I remember all that along the way. And so it was like, you know, just this kind of silly, I'm eight, just looking back going, wow, this was quite an adventure. What a journey. And so I'm not crying, I'm not being pulled, but it was just like, I knew there was something bigger and something more, and that never left me. And then it's changed. And then wanting to find out, you know, sometimes it was just like the action, and I do love the Empire and their toys and all those things I've thought growing up. But post Last Jedi, coming out of that first screening and just being like, what did I see? What do I feel about that? And wanting to know what that really meant to me and compared to my expectations, what I wanted with the Luke character. I wasn't surprised he died, but was that what I wanted? And wanting to fully understand, well, what did that all mean? What was it about? And what did it mean to me? Was a big sea change in a long career of love and stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, by the time, you know, the Disney sale is announced, talking about Star Wars becomes, you know, a thing that's a big part of your life. And I think, early on in public Star Wars talking on podcasts and in various streaming channels, is understandable to really focus on the what's going to happen, who's going to be there, how's it going to play out, how many movies will Mark Hamill be in. All that stuff was, to me, like the return of the playground bar conversations of the what ifs. And I think it's one of the real triumphs of the sequel trilogy and in Last Jedi in particular, that it really encourages you to ask, what is this all about? I think that is, in many ways, the mission of The Last Jedi. It's obviously to tell the stories and it's about these characters. But as you know, we've talked about before, I feel like it is holding up a lot of the ideas of Star Wars and torture testing them in order to validate them. So, you know, when Luke Skywalker says, I will not be the last Jedi, it is incredibly powerful to me. And just like when I was a kid, it makes me ask, how can I be like Luke Skywalker?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. These are great memories and a very cinematic of young Kenny staring out the station wagon at the stars.
Yeah.
Speaking of Amblin, was Spielberg filming you during that moment?
Totally. Somewhere out there. This could be happening right now. Yeah.
I want to see this animated and then you're staring up at the stars and then the stars reform into a picture of George Lucas with his little director's hat.
Yes.
Pointing to the distance. Yeah, there are definitely moments like this in my life. You shared some great ones where not just moved by the stories, but sort of defining moments where I realized the depth in the importance of it. I think for me, in some ways, Star Wars was all around me. At first in my love, and I've talked about this before, I feel like for me, my family, we didn't travel much. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get to see the world. A lot of things felt very gray and boxy and, you know, it wasn't as prevalent at the time to put pop culture on everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kids are, I sound so oldie times here, but kids were still just getting non-branded blocks and like here wooden blocks.
Yeah.
Go nuts. The world was so, my day-to-day life was boxy and brown and dull. Mm-hmm. And Star Wars was an explosion of color the same way superheroes were. And the brief bit of Star Trek I got to see before we moved in, Star Trek wasn't on television anymore. And it was
the
thing I saw in a magazine at a grocery store every once in a while. So in some ways, like Star Wars, I always knew that Star Wars was not just another story because I had the action figures, mm-hmm. I had the trading cards, I had the storybooks, and it was life. It was color. It was my imagination. It, along with like superheroes and a handful of other things, was where I went to feel alive. I didn't say that to myself when I was 6 years old of like,
yeah,
rough day, gotta feel alive, I'm gonna play with Yoda. I didn't say it that way or think about it that way, but in retrospect that was true.
Yeah.
One of the moments two moments that I remember around Return of the Jedi that were both a little bit more like, oh wow, I really need this. I've mentioned this story before. You know, being alive in between Empire and Jedi enough to debate and think and wonder, how is this possibly going to work out? How could Luke ever become powerful enough to beat Vader? And, you know, and you're a kid and you don't understand the way narratives work. And like sometimes my brother be like, my brother's 3 years older and he'd be like, yeah, I don't think Luke can. I think Vader's going to get him. I think that's going to be it. Like that's a possibility in your mind, you know?
Yeah.
And they, you know, it was whatever scholastic thing where you could order books at school, which is also a spark of life. Yeah. I don't know why I wasn't at school. I wasn't sick or whatever, but anyway, my brother stayed late at school. This was before the film came out because they used to do it back then. And the storybook came out of Return of the Jedi, and he read about the first half, and I don't know how he found a payphone at school or whatever, but I remember distinctly that he called me on the telephone. And just started telling me everything, like, okay, Han does get out.
Yeah.
He's still covered in frozen, but he gets out. But I remember, like, staring out the window when my brother told me, he's like, he did it. Luke is a Jedi Knight. And getting, like, teary. Yeah. And that it meant something that I had imprinted on Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And he succeeded, and he became this great thing that he was striving to be of a Jedi. And I did not have any words for it then, but I think that level of emotion and how much it affected me, it wasn't just a story. It wasn't just, I want those toys. They're fun to play with. It was deeper.
Yeah. That's amazing. Cause that's happening in real time. The movies are rolling out in front of you and Luke did it and not understanding it. Yeah. Like one time I had a friend one time his wife, just didn't grow up with Star Wars and they watched 1 through 6. And when Anakin fell, she was heartbroken.
Yeah.
Heartbroken that he had fallen. I love that stuff. I'm sorry that there's tears, but love it, you know?
Yeah. No, you need it. a slightly darker thing around the same time. It was bright for me, but I've made jokes about it, but it's true. We had moved. We lived in Portland, Oregon during Empire Being Out, and that was like just a great and wonderful and exciting time. And then we moved back to Minnesota, and this is not a commentary on the city as it exists now. We lived in St. Cloud, Minnesota, and it was much smaller at the time. There just wasn't as much to do, and it felt smaller to me. I had some great times there, great memories there, but this is when we first moved back, and I didn't have any friends now. Mm-hmm. And starting a new school, and we were leaving a store called Shopco, and it was just like a beautiful, brilliant sunset with, you know, pinks and purples and oranges in the cloud. And I remember just taking a deep breath, like, mm-hmm. It's Cloud City. We're on Cloud City. And my mm-hmm. mom, for the first time, got real concerned. And she's like, you know, it's not real, right? And I had this fear of her taking Star Wars away from me. And like, yeah. It's kind of a scarier, you know, not as great memory, to be perfectly honest. But it was one of those moments where like, a realization in my little kid brain that like, this is important to me. I know it's fantasy. I know it's not real, mm-hmm. but I really don't want it to leave my life. I would really not be okay with it leaving my life.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, I love these kind of conversations. It makes me go other places, but what you're saying, if I don't really want it to leave my life, I will admit that sometimes the defensiveness I have of Star Wars and of the property, and even if I have friends that make disparaging marks of it, even if I know it's not as deep for them, so of course they're going to make that. Some of that rush to anger I have is the, don't you dare take this away from me. It's not going anywhere. You know, because I grew up thinking we only had three movies and some books I didn't understand. Like, it's not going anywhere. But there's that kind of like, no, don't you dare. Don't you dare try to put this fire out. How dare you? And I think I have to control that anger, that Sith anger a little bit more. But that vibe, you just made me think of that. Like going even to what Britain was saying. I'm like, don't you dare. I want you to love this like me.
I think that's some of when people say the discourse is difficult, I think a lot of people are totally fine with, I like that and other people didn't, you know. Mm-hmm. But when people express a negative opinion about some storytelling with mm-hmm. anger, or a negative opinion saying it is garbage and you're a fool to like it, you know, I think that is part of our defensive reaction of, mm-hmm. fine, you don't like it, whistle and walk away, great, mm-hmm. Write a review, but why are you trying to control what it is and say, mm-hmm. I'm wrong for loving it, because I think it makes us feel defensive, because like, it's given me all these things, you know. That's why I felt my mom was worried about me, of like, I understand that's a real sunset. I know there aren't X-Wings up there, but also like, it's really getting me through school in this move to think about X-Wings up there. So don't bleep and take it from me, Mom.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't you dare.
Don't you take these X-Wings from me, Mom. Mm-hmm. And I'll just say this one real quick, because I know I've mentioned it multiple times, but once I got to being a teen, and I was not being loud and proud about it at school, but I finally mm-hmm. had the original trilogy on VHS and was watching them a lot and, you know, appreciating them on a deeper level than I could as a kid. And my dad started to teach me to play the drums, which is something I really wanted, but I was afraid I couldn't do. And having it finally click that I needed to practice and I needed to be able to count the beats and know the beats and things like that. But also, once I finally got to that place where my hands and my feet could do different things at a different time, it felt like tapping into the Force, and it felt like everything that Yoda was saying to Luke in Empire Strikes Back suddenly made like a deeper sense to me. So I always feel like my dad and Yoda taught me to play the drums.
Love them. Yeah. The image of a Yoda doll, like a life size scale, 1-6 scale plush or something, of Yoda on your shoulder as you drum away.
Yeah, concentrate. Concentrate. Mm, paradiddle. All right. Any other thoughts on that one, Ken?
No, I love this. I mean, I had some notes on this, but I just was like, there's so much to this, Brian and Fraser. You guys have both asked wonderful questions that are similar to me, of just like trying to explain, how can you explain true love in your heart? It's sometimes hard. A fancy letter, a Hallmark card, none of it really captures the spirit of love. You just know it. You just know it and you feel it. And it's always going to be a constant struggle to try to share that joy with others to pull them in.
Absolutely. Well said. Thanks for the deep questions. We always like to hear other people's answers. So if anybody wants to, you know, tweet or respond in the YouTube comments or anything and share these kind of moments for you where Star Wars really made a difference, we're always excited to hear those. We are going to take a quick break and we'll be back with one more question and a power of the light side. Back in a moment.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And we are back here on Cues of the Force. We have some more A's to introduce to the Cues. This one comes to us on Twitter from Leans, L-E-E-N-S, Leans. Lean says, I'm a relatively new listener and have really enjoyed your podcast, especially Cues of the Force and Figure Fights, using the latter for my submission to the former. I am curious, if you were a character in Star Wars, what kind of character would you be, in what era, and how would your character translate to your action figure? For example, I see myself as an ISB tech specialist, but learning the Empire's true evil intents eventually defect to the rebellion. So my action figure accessories will be a holo pad and maybe an Imperial code cylinder that's kind of like a skeleton key that can unlock all kinds of stuff. Doesn't need to have a lot of articulation as long as the figure can hold the holo pad and cylinder. Not sure what the chances are of this even making it through, but I had to try. Haha. Thanks, and may the force be with you. Hey, Leans, it made it through. This is a great, fun question. Great to hear from newer listeners as well. Great to hear which episodes are speaking to you. So thank you for sharing that. And thank you for this great and fun question. We got some really deep questions and we got some action figure questions. That is Star Wars for me. And action figures also can be very deep to me. But Ken, where do you go with this and how important to you is it that your figure can actually hold the accessories?
It's 80% important. I used to always struggle on getting like even with like the G.I. Joe guns into their hands without breaking their thumbs. And so if I felt I could put them on the table next to them and then maybe they but yeah, you do want it. You do want that.
I need my figure to hold the accessories. Unacceptable. None of this is standing by them. Nope.
Yeah, and that, you know, you all know it out there. You open up that figure, I don't care Ken or Hasbro, whatever era. And you put the accessory in their hands, and sometimes it's a perfect snug fit. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, and you almost hear a click. And other times you're like, why is this blaster just like wobbling around in the hand? What's different about this versus the other one?
Yeah. Why is it pointed in like way, way, way the wrong angle?
Yeah.
So where do you go with this? This is a fascinating question. We've got the general accessories questions or action figure kind of questions before, but Lean's puts a great spin on this of, what era would we be making it through and what kind of character? So where do you go?
Yeah, I'm trying to look back at past answers. I used to do a jokey one. I did it on my old pal Nick Mundy's show of speaking to someone who I argue with about Star Wars a lot. Love you, Nick. I wanted to be during the prequel era and be a before the fall of the Jedi and be a robe maker who was selling the robes to the Jedi, like at a shop. So, growth business at the time, but that's been my answer. But I over the years, God, this is an old Spotlight Star Wars episode. So Leans go way back when I would just barf into microphones by myself in my old apartment, for Spotlight Star Wars episodes. I had a character called, Nap Hotzok. that I figured, you know, I've been love talking into microphones and all that stuff going back to since I was three. That just makes a lot of sense. So a broadcaster, but then it'd be, I think the era's changed over the years. I think I'd be fascinated about it being between episode 3 and 4, this era we're seeing, this age of rebellion, but emerging rebellion, because I'd love to be some sort of broadcaster on the HoloNet, you know, playing some Star Wars music out there, actually, you know, playing hot tune coming out of Tatooine, Lapty Neck, here we go. but now having, you know, a little bit of a greater you know, sense of purpose, not that I have a greater purpose, but just a sense of, hey, I want what I do to have some sort of message and matter, and being trying to get the word of the rebellion out, dropping codes, you know, this tune's coming out from Luthen, sends this one to Mon, and it's, you know, and just transferring information through song requests and news updates all around the galaxy, and putting that character in that timeline. And then of course, so action figure, you need to have some sort of headphones on the guy, but it'll be the Kenner melded on headphones, you know, so sunglasses, a little Wolfman Jack, old DJ energy or something like that.
We're not talking Lobot around the back of the head, or we're talking about the top of the head, right?
The top of the head, just some good old fashioned, you know, almost like Obi-Wan piloting a ship in the prequel era, right? That they don't have a helmet. They have like a Bluetooth headset on, you know, that. And then as far as accessories, you definitely would need like kind of something Lando has when he was recording the Lando Chronicles there. So you have that. So that would have a version of that. But then I definitely would want, I'm going to be recording on the go, especially if the Empire finds out what I'm doing and I got to move from system to system, like a radio man going from town to town, getting a radio job, ending up at WOLDDD for you Harry Chapin fans. And I'd want the Qui-Gon Jinn communicator from Phantom Menace.
Oh, the Schick Razor?
Schick Razor. So I want that accessory. And then the final accessory is I want a pointer. Why? Because who doesn't want a Crix mating pointer for no real reason? And maybe there's something there. Don't want a blaster, just want a pointer.
Just for scratching your back, if your character articulates that way.
Which I'm notorious for having a back scratcher near me at a lot of times. I'm an itchy man, apparently. So it all comes together, Joseph. You're really hitting the core themes of my life there. And so there you go. That's the accessories that I want there.
Okay, so this is my most important question. This makes a ton of sense, and it's great, the era, the themes, everything. Now, the question for me always with the characters who aren't like Jedi or bounty hunters or weird aliens means, how do you make their outfits exciting? So are you wearing Han Solo Lando-like clothing? Do you have a uniform like a cloud car pilot? What's on your body?
I think if you're gonna go like a there's two ways to look at an old radio rock man, right? Most of my broadcasting was done in sweatpants when I was the graveyard DJ. So there's that, but then there's the public appearance version, right? And that's where you're maybe putting on a leather jacket. Some stylish pants, maybe some John Lennon circle shade glasses that I had when I was in radio. Did I look cool, kids? Not really. Did I feel it? Yeah. So I'd want some, so the figure would have the headphones on, like I said, but it would have long hair, like a Qui-Gon, like, but the hard plastic hair that doesn't really move, but it indicates this character has long hair. I'd want that. Then I'd want a good Star Wars, like, leather jacket. It'd be perfect for that.
Yeah, with maybe like a rebellion patch, like Poe's, like Poe has.
But it'd be like the radio station's patch, right? And it'd be secret code in there. Maybe it's Fulcrum Radio, you know? And then some good pants with some stripes down the side. And a shirt, not unlike Han and New Hope, that is unbuttoned more than you remember.
Yeah, you're showing some chest. Do you want some articulated hair?
I mean, if depending on the era of the figure, I'm thinking early, kind of that 90s Phantom Menace era figure hair.
So, oh, yeah. Yeah. So I think you can have some chest hair. Why not? Yeah. They can do textures.
In terms of chest hair? Yeah. Take a little brush and just do some dappling. Put some hair on.
So not like fully molded bumps that are painted, but just little paint marks.
I don't want fully molded bumps on my chest. No.
Who does? So I like this. So if somebody would pass this in the aisle and they do like a little, they would look twice. They do a skull, as they used to say in vaudeville. And they would see, oh, cool. It's a pirate, a radio pirate.
Yes. And I did do pirate radio for 6 months of my career. So yeah, Gorian Shard Air. Here we go.
There we go. Well, our answers are different, but shockingly similar in that we picked the same era in the same general idea of pirate broadcasting.
Yeah.
I would want to be a Jedi. I would always want to be a Jedi. It would be interesting to have an action figure of a Jedi during the Imperial era, so they're not necessarily just wearing, you know, a standard Jedi issue. I know there's a lot of variety, but sometimes it can get a little similar in the prequel era. I was thinking about a Jedi doing a rebel, you know, podcast from a hidden location. Maybe the Jedi is also using their sneaking abilities to film Imperial poor behavior and sneaking that out so people can see what the Empire is really up to. I think for the actual action figure, I would like to have maybe a little bit of a blue shirt vibe, like Kenobi. I would like that to make that the official outfit of Jedi who are sad and hiding out.
Absolutely.
Put on your blue shirt of mourning like Kenobi. And then I'd still want a Jedi robe. And I think I would want it molded out of plastic, but I would want it tattered, because I would have thought that was really cool in like 99, 2000, a sort of molded plastic battle damaged Jedi robe. So like still some Jedi vibes, but torn up, man. Externalizing the trauma to my tattered plastic Jedi robe. And then for accessories, I would want some space gear. I would like a space microphone that looks a little like big oldie time, you know, Sinatra singing with a big band, kind of big, chunky microphone, but with some weird bits added to it, maybe two spikes on the side.
I love that. Yeah.
So it looks like it could double as a microphone or a weapon. Similar thing with like a little handheld sort of camcorder thing.
Yeah, that you're describing some real mid-90s Shadows of the Empire accessories, and I love it.
Yeah, like, oh, well, they could record with that, or they could fight Prince Zizor with that, for sure.
Flat Top Chewy has this here.
Yeah, Flat Top Chewy is truly a figure of its exact age. Like, that's the month that came out being celebrated by that action figure. I would also, of course, because I'm a Jedi, I would need an ignited lightsaber and the hilt. And maybe it's disguised. Maybe it's like got some like, you know, other kit on it, or maybe there's a little bit of kind of plastic wrapped around it, so it's not as obviously a lightsaber hilt. Definitely need that. And then final thing, this version of me who's doing pirate radio and coordinating with that other pirate, having a little bit of a hard time, right? So there would also be a bottle of space booze.
Oh yeah, you got to have that. And that would put a certain rating or something on the figure for the packaging.
I mean, hey, some of those Attack of the Clones figures come with drinks and death sticks. So I think that we can get away with it.
That's true. Looking at you, Ahmed Beck.
Yep. So there we go. Those are our action figures of one another podcasting.
So there you go. So to all the listeners, you know, who want to do some art of this, take all those words we put on the table and make them into artist renditions of those.
That is a ton of fun. Thank you, Leans, for being a new listener and for the great question. Any final thoughts on that one, Ken?
No. Ken Hot Sock lives. Or excuse me, Nap Hot Sock lives.
We are going to move on then to our Power of the Light Side segment. If you're a patron on Patreon, we accept these submissions all the time of something joyful or fun or just rewarding, important about Star Wars. You can scroll down the post section. You'll see the picture of Obi-Wan Kenobi smiling at the Skywalker twins, and that's where you can add these. Our one today comes from Christopher Ferreira. Christopher says, "Hello, Joseph and Ken. I've been struggling to tell this story, specifically how to make it clear that it's a positive story. I'll cut right to it. On December 18th, 2015, my grandmother passed away. She had been suffering from severe dementia from Alzheimer's and had been living with her family since 2012, the day the world was supposed to end. 12/12/12. I had just started my freshman year of college and school had just ended for winter break the same day. I had plans for some high school friends to pick me up, and I'm sure some listeners have put together, take me to see The Force Awakens. We had second showing premiere night tickets, and I had been anticipating this since I was a child prequel fan. Got the call of the news a few hours before the premiere. In a way, I wasn't bothered. She had been suffering for a long time, and we had done all we could to make it easy for her. She got to meet my wonderful girlfriend, now wife, and I had last seen her in good health and good spirits a month prior. I missed the rapid decline. But with the panic of packing up my clothes and things for the long break and my anticipation of Star Wars, I was surprisingly unbothered. The rest of the day went as planned. My friend picked me up. We met up with a few more old friends and we went into the show. I yelled at the opening crawl, grabbing my friend and shaking him as I exclaimed, I can't believe I'm watching this. The movie played through and I was having a wonderful time. Then the climax of the movie. Han Solo is stepping out to meet his son, and I felt a pit in my stomach. When Kylo makes his decision, I cried. Silently, but I cried. The whole weight of the day crushed me. I lost two childhood heroes that day, my beloved grandma and Han Solo. But when my friend noticed, he kindly leaned over and calmly asked if I was okay. I smiled and replied yes, because this movie hadn't beaten me down. In fact, I felt relieved. Letting out that emotion was the last part of my grieving. The situation had been something I was preparing for in college, but Star Wars spurred and translated my emotional breach. I left the movie theater happy to have seen Star Wars and made it home and cried some more with my mom, and we were both sad but accepting and relieved. The Force Awakens will always hold a special place in my heart for how it helped me process a dramatic day. That's my story, hopefully plain and clear. Thanks for listening, Force Center. Love you all. Thank you so much, Christopher. The power and the beauty of the story is very clear that it is ultimately a positive thing of Star Wars helping you through a difficult time, a difficult moment. Ken, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'll say this, and I might have some jokes and laughter in my answer, but Christopher, and I read over this this morning. I got home late last night before our recording session. I did shed a tear over a nice, wonderful breakfast burrito. So, Christopher, touched by your story, I just sat down to enjoy breakfast, and what's Joseph got for me today? And this got me. So, really appreciate you sharing this, and love you, man. We love having friends like you here, and not making. You know, we set up top talking about how we explain how we love Star Wars and try not to be negative and stuff like that. But I keep saying I'm a little more grumpy these days. I was even in a professional meeting last week of this new job I had. And I said, guys, I warn you, I get grumpy about this stuff. and this is the reason. And you know, I'm much more interested in politics and politically active in terms of just what I watch and read and research than I was in the past. But State of the Union still aren't my favorite things. Like, it's this weird theater of the politics to me. This is a very personal thing for me. It doesn't mean they're not saying valuable things or that we shouldn't pay attention. I just don't engage with them as much as I do other things in the political process. But one of the things I love in them is when a president will be like, and out in the crowd is this person. Please stand. This person experienced this, and it backs up my point, and here's why we should fight for this person and that kind of thing. You know that feeling?
Mm-hmm.
I feel that when I'm yelling at a comic in a green room. Or no, you shan't disparage the Gungans in front of me. It's not for everything that's about my journey. It's Christopher's journey. It's the people who come to our Discord and be like, oh, I just love, can I tell you all, I love this scene in Caravan of Courage. And please no one make fun of me. And when I always say that thing of like, I'm here to defend Star Wars, not the company, not the brand, not the movies, not George Lucas, not Kathleen Kennedy. I'm not here to defend that. I'm here to defend Christopher. So when someone comes to me nowadays and says, oh, Force Awakens, oh, so derivative of Episode 4. They had a larger Death Star and a trench run. I can go, yeah, I totally get it. I felt some of those things too. But you don't, that cannot override what Christopher's experiencing here and what he did experience and what he's sharing. That's why I love Star Wars. That's why you and I come back every week with Jennifer. That's why we're still here. It's these stories. So as I'm shedding a tear into a wonderful breakfast I had, Christopher, in your honor here, your grandmother's honor, this is why I keep coming back. And this is the power, the true power of Star Wars.
Yeah. Add some salt to that breakfast burrito. Very, very well said. And I really agree. It is so important to be open and aware to the power of these stories. And I try to remember that even for stories that don't connect for me, maybe there's something in them, even outside of Star Wars, other genres or things that I don't connect to. What are people finding in them that they need in that moment? That's helpful. That's why we tell stories. There is a corporate part of it. These are made by corporations, but they're also made by artists who are working through things and putting their soul in them. And I just never want to get so cynical that I don't see or feel those things. And these stories are such an amazing reminder of them. And I can really relate, Christopher, to your story. I am pretty good at compartmentalizing in particularly when it comes to sort of big emotional things. I will, feel like I am upset and I will deal with that later because I gotta keep going. And I think in some of the moments lately that have really moved me in Star Wars in the last few years, I think it has been emotions coming out in emotions about all sorts of things, all sorts of losses, the trauma that I think the entire world is still processing with what we went through with COVID and many people are still struggling with. There's so much uncertainty and so much anger. And I think I feel a lot of those things that everybody is in a place where they are having a hard time and we need one another. And I think for me, it's release and catharsis of those emotions of how good it feels when somebody gives you what you need. That's why the Kenobi moment where grumpy old Uncle Owen goes, "You want to meet him?" And Kenobi and Luke get what they need. It's why Rey connecting with all the Jedi that have come before and hearing what she needs to hear, "Alone never have you been," gets me, because it's about that moment of catharsis of we all need this. We all need for people to help us. I went to that screening of Return of the Jedi on May the 4th that I talked about, which was, it was great on many levels. For what you're talking about, Ken, it was so powerful to hear people applaud so much for Carrie Fisher, because people who need Carrie Fisher, who need Leia, who need the strength and the kindness and the resilience that is in those films and that Carrie Fisher broadcast to the world. There was no way to not feel that people need that and are getting it from Star Wars and from this character all these years later. And there were a lot of different things about that screening. I had a rough day the Tuesday before May 4th. I had a really, really rough day where just sort of everything, it was one of those days where just like every little thing was a reminder of the challenges of family stuff, aging stuff, career stuff. And it was one of those just sort of like, I need to just let myself hit emotional rock bottom today days.
Yeah.
And I think I processed that screening of Return of the Jedi differently, because I had been to that like, okay, just today, I'm going to give up. I'm fine, I'm safe. But it was like, no pep talk self, just yeah. And I just let myself feel like bleep. And then coming back to that Return of the Jedi screening and being picked up by it in lots of different ways and seeing the movie in a fresh light. I can't remember if I mentioned this. I got teary at Leia telling Han that Luke is her brother and Han processing that. And it was a weird moment because the audience was just totally on board with every beat of Han's processing and the comedy of it, of Han being like, "What? Well, what about the kid? Wait, oh, damn, that means we can be together." And that dime dropping for Han. I never fully processed it as a moment where Han had been incredibly vulnerable of like, "You love him, don't you? I understand. I won't make any problem. I'll go away." And like, I'd never really fully processed it at the depth of what that truth is for Han, of a moment of we won, but she's gone. I finally can admit to myself that I truly love someone, truly need someone. I'm willing to be all in. And for just a second, he loses it all in his mind. And then she reaffirms, no, I'm right here and I want you too. And I'd never felt it on that emotional level. And I was laughing and crying at the same time.
Just a great feeling.
It is very, very weird and just exciting and wonderful that something that I've, you know, seen a million times can still affect me differently, like that Han and Leia moment.
Yeah, that's the power of all of this here. And as we in our own State of Union say, "Christopher, stand up. Everyone meet Christopher. Here's his story." As we go through that and we share it, you can sometimes take that kind of stuff on. And it doesn't mean that, you know, I am still struggling with Jedi Survivor, but I realize, man, other people aren't. And that's wonderful. And I will defend that and connect with that. And who knows, one day this will hit me or it will hit me differently. You know, these movies become wallpaper to folks like you and I, because they're just on and we've lived them and we quote them and you know every trivia answer. But that's why I always push for go beyond that. What does it mean? How does it make you feel?
Yeah. What does it mean to people? What does it mean to you? And being open to what it means to other people too. This has been a surprisingly emotional episode. of Use of the Force. Sometimes we think we get, do you think Boba Fett will pop up in Mandalorian season 4? Which is emotional too, because yeah. Boba Fett moved us both as well. Any final thoughts on this before we wrap up, Ken?
No, thanks for sharing this, Christopher. Really love it. I promise not to be yelling at a comic in a green room and being like, well, let me introduce you to my friend Christopher. Let me DM him right now. In Discord. But, it means a lot. And you know, much love to you, your family, your mother, your grandma's memory, and a Han Solo's memory too.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much, Christopher. Thank you, everyone who sent in questions. We'll be getting to more and more Power of the Light Sides. But like I said, if you want to make a submission, feel free to do so. In the meantime, I will process not being able to play Jedi Survivor right now, but we'll see about that in the future. Ken, where can people find us?
Hey, you can find us at Force Center Pod on Twitter or on Instagram and YouTube as well. Subscribe over there. Hey, don't forget to check out the latest episode of Figure Fights up last week. But Alex and Molly Damon back for one big final round with them in a series of four shows we tape with them. So check that out. We're on Facebook as well as Force Center Podcast. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Find the podcast pretty much everywhere. Just search, you'll find us. But Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, all those spots. As Joseph said, support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter and get into that Discord where I can sometimes be like, oh, I apologize to anyone who saw me yelling about Survivor on that stream because that was bad. we get real in there. Follow me at KatNapsuck or go to my website, KatNapsuck.com for more. Sir, you.
Excellent. Yeah, yeah. You can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Mastodon, TikTok. Man, it's weird to list them all together. I'm not on Bloodle yet, but send me a Bloodletation and maybe I'll check that out. So my handle everywhere is at Joseph Scrimshaw. And if you are listening as this is being broadcast, I believe I'm getting close to being funded on the Kickstarter for this short film that I'm working on. Ken is going to be one of the actors in this. I'm very excited. Force Center listeners have been exceedingly supportive and very generous. If you're interested at all and want to check out the film, it is called The Nightmare Adorable, and you can find the campaign by going to my social media or just searching for Joseph Scrimshaw on Kickstarter. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for all of the different reasons that Star Wars can move you, this has been Cues of the Force.